Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that as we open it up this morning, that you would help us to open up our hearts to hear more than just the words that are coming out of my mouth, but that we would hear your Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts and changing us, causing us to be more like you. That's our prayer today. That's why we're here today. Do your work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, starting with the 26th verse, says, "For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. Anyone who disregarded the law of Moses died without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, who has regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, 'Vengeance belongs to me, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And with those, what, have you received a blessing yet? We'll stop there this morning. He's basically saying here, if we continue to walk in the darkness after we have heard the truth, there's no sacrifice for our sins. And many people feel that they've heard the word of God and that because they've been in church ever since they were a baby, that somehow they've attained righteousness and Jesus has to forgive whatever they have done. Some think that grace is something that permits us to rebel against God and not suffer the consequences of our rebellion, and that's simply not true. So let me say this to begin with. God's grace is free, but God wants to change our lives. He wants us to walk in the light as he has shown us. See, he of necessity wants to be in charge of our lives. That's what being a Christian is. That you decided to quit being in charge of your life and let him be in charge of your life. Is that correct or not? That was the deal you made. And the writer of Hebrews is saying here that there's only one way to God, and that is to surrender to Jesus, to follow him, to become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In the 28th and 29th verses of the 10th chapter that we just read, anyone who disregarded the law of Moses died without mercy based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think one will deserve who has trampled on the Son of God, who has regarded as profane the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? See, what he's talking about here is not somebody who slips and just accidentally. He's talking about somebody who's walking in darkness, who's living a lifestyle of sin, who's living a lifestyle like they used to before they came to know Jesus, who traded their new life. See, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, they traded in that life for the old life. And how many think that's a good deal? No. But there's a lot of people who reject God's way for their own way. They go back to what they were. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that person's in trouble. See, we don't live by the standards of the world. The morality of the church should not even come close to looking like the immorality of the world. And yet, in so many instances, I see that that's not the case. That, you know, we people come to Jesus and they're coming to church and they slide right back into the old immorality that they lived in before they came to know Jesus. Jesus wants to clean us up. Yes, And the effect of having Jesus in our life is a changed life. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean we're changed and we're not walking in that darkness anymore. Now, your darkness might, or your darkness, your light might not yet be the same as Lee's light, because you've been walking with Jesus a different amount of time, right? And Bob's light might not be the same as my light. We've been walking with Jesus a different amount of time, but we're walking in the lighted areas that Jesus has turned on. Am I making any sense? Jesus comes into your life at the beginning with a very, very little, like I always like to say, comes in with like a pin light. You know, if you've been walking in darkness for a long time, somebody comes in with a big Klieg light, you know, that's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be, turn that off! I want to say that every time they turn those lights on. Turn that off! It's morning. And so he doesn't do that. He comes in with a little bitty light, lighting an area of your life. And I bet there were things that when you came to Jesus, that there were certain things that just fell away. Then there was other stuff you had to walk through some discipline to clean those areas of your life. And little bit by little bit, God turns on a light in another room, turns on a light in another room, turns on a light in another room. And what he's saying here is, don't go in those rooms and turn the light back off. So many people think that they're walking with Jesus simply because they show up to church and listen to the word being taught. And it's good that you show up to church and hear the word being taught. And those of you that are listening online, why aren't you here? Matthew 7, 26 and 27 says, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed with a great crash. Hears these words of mine, does not act on them." That's like a foolish man that doesn't use old Shan. I'm an old Ryan. It doesn't do us any good to just hear God's word. Doesn't do us any good just to read God's word. I mean, yeah, read it, listen to it, but then do something with it. Whenever I'm hearing the Bible from any source, I'm asking God, what do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do with this, God? And I've read the Bible many, many, many times. But every single time, God shows me something different. Every single time, something stands out and says, you know what? I want to work on this particular area of your life today, Don. Because that's what God wants to do in our lives every single day. It's not just, okay, I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and sometimes I'm going to come on Wednesday. And those are the two times that I let God do something in my life. If that's it, you're only eating twice a week. Some of you once a week. I don't want to eat once a week. How about you? You can look at me and say and see that I don't want to eat once a week. I don't even want to just eat once a day. And we need to nourish ourselves with God's word. What does your food do? It nourishes you, gives you energy, helps you to grow into the person that God meant you to be physically. And some of us grow more than others. It's the same thing the word of God does with us. We listen to it, we let God change us. Because he doesn't want you coming to him and just staying the way that you were. He wants you to come to him and become a different person. I mean, not a different personality. Maybe some people different personality. But He wants to change you from the inside out. But we have to cooperate. We have to quit turning the lights out in the rooms that we're in. We don't need to just hear the word and build a foundation thinking that we're safe. But the troubles of this life come, and they're going to, in every single one of us, those storms are going to come. And we find out what foundation we've been building on when the storms come. Don't think about how you are when everything's great. Because everything's not going to be great all the time. Anybody agree with me? There's trouble right here in River City. You're old. But think back on the last time things were really bad in your life. You know, there's trouble. There's stuff going on. What foundation were you showing off? Sand or the rock? We need to be building on the rock. And the way we do that is to hear his word and put it into practice. And I can't do that for somebody else. One of the most frustrating things in ministry is that I can't make somebody follow Jesus. Not even my family. I can't make Evelyn apply the word of God to her. I can help, but I can't make her do it. And she can't make me do it. See, we're not here this morning thinking, wow, I wish so-and-so was listening to this. Well, this is all about us. You're the one that needs to apply God's word. I'm the one who needs to apply God's word. And we need to let, you know, you can encourage other people to apply God's word. That's what I'm doing right now. But you can't make anybody. James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was," or forgets what he looks like. This guy's a dumb guy. "But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does." How many of you want to be blessed in everything that you do? Can I see your hand? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a dumb question. Everybody wants to be blessed. Then we need to be doers of his word and not hearers only. He says, don't be a hearer only and so deceive yourselves. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we come to church, we hear God's word being taught or preached, and maybe the Holy Spirit knocks on our heart, but then we walk away and we don't put any of it into practice, and says we're deceiving ourselves because we think we're okay. I'm okay because I came to church. I'm okay because I heard the word. I'm okay. Well, you're only okay if you come, you hear, and then you leave this place putting it into practice. That's when we're okay. That's when we're blessed in everything that we do. It doesn't mean that the difficult times won't come, because you're going to see in a minute that both foundations have winds blowing and rain coming down and floods beating against the house. They have all of that. Both people that hear the word. So when we oftentimes we think, well, I'm going to be blessed in everything that I do. That means I won't have any more problems. Is that what it means? How many of you, can any of you say, I came to Jesus and all of my problems went away? Can I see your hand? Chase raised his hand as a lie. No. I can't say that. Okay. But we deceive ourselves. We think we're a Christian because we show up here. No, this helps you be a better Christian if you, and only if you, listen to what's being taught, apply it to your life, and let Jesus change your life. See, he has something that he poured into you that you may not even know. He created you, it says in Ephesians, for good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. So you're predisposed to like certain things and to be talented at certain things. You might think, well, why is that? It's because God wants to use whatever you're predisposed to do for the glory of his kingdom. I don't care what ability you're good at. God can use it for his glory in his kingdom. And so often we think, well, how can God use that? You'd be surprised at what God can use. Why do you work where you work? Because God has somebody at work for you to shed light in their life. And maybe you're the only person that can do it. See, it's a bleak picture for people that believe they're serving God all of their life. And yet, here are the words, depart from me, I never knew you. That's also in Matthew chapter 7. Look over there, Matthew 7, 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. See, God works. Good works don't get you there. A relationship with Jesus, the kind where you trust him and follow him. See, the follow him is the important part. It's not, I mean, if you follow him, how many of you agree, you will do good works, right? It's when I'm not following him that the bad stuff comes around. Is that true or not?
The devil made me do it.
He says, I never knew you. These people were spouting off all the works that they were doing. It's not some simple thing to prophesy or to drive out demons, as the sons of Sceva showed. But that's not what gets you there. What gets you there is knowing him and walking with him and getting to know him better and better and better every single day. Oh, you know, I'm really good at my relationship with Jesus. I don't need to get any closer. I'm just right where I want to be. I want to tell you, if that's your attitude, you're backsliding. It's like so many things in life. If you're not advancing, you're going backwards. And God wants us to advance every single day. You know, not just twice a week, or once a week, or once a month, or twice a year. Good works don't get me there. There's a story, and I didn't realize until just recently that it's actually a version of a true story. There was a guy that used to walk a tightrope across Niagara Falls. When I used to tell this story, it was just a story. Now I realize there actually was a guy who was dumb enough to walk a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he would do it pretty much every day. And he'd draw big crowds. And every day this one guy would come out and just, you know, really root him on. He was excited to see this guy. And so after a while, just walking across was boring. So he started taking a wheelbarrow back and forth. And the guy apparently didn't fall into Niagara Falls, so it's pretty good. But this guy was at the edge of the falls and was cheering him on, and says, and he turned around and said, "Do you believe that I could walk across here with this wheelbarrow?" And the guy said, "Yeah, yeah, I've seen you do it. Yeah, it's great. I love you, man." Yeah. Probably didn't say that. It was back in the 20s or something. The guy said, "You sure you believe it?" "Yeah. Get in the wheelbarrow." I don't remember whether the guy got in the wheelbarrow or not. I was just shocked to find out that it's probably not exactly what happened, but it's a version of a true story. So probably was a spider walking across a tightrope. But God's saying to you, you say you believe, you say that you believe my word, you say you're a Christian. Christian means little Christ. We've reduced it to Christ-like. So he says, get in the barrel. Get in the wheelbarrow. That's a little bit different. But that's what God's saying to us. Getting in the wheelbarrow means that we actually don't just say we agree with stuff, but we put it into practice in our lives. We get in the wheelbarrow. Because people are looking at our lives. You're a Christian? Yeah. Why do you act like everybody else then? You're a Christian? Why do you talk like everybody else then? You're a Christian? Why do you have the same attitude that everybody else has? Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 says, this is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration. See, we're not supposed to brag about the things that we're good at or the things that we have. The thing that he's telling us to brag about, and this is something he's telling us to brag about. You know, true praise and worship to God is bragging on God. That's what it is. Whether it, you know, people say, "Well, I can't praise God because I can't sing." It's not singing. And besides, the Bible says, make a joyful noise. I mean, I don't care if you sound like somebody doing mean things to a cat with a fork. I don't care. God says make a joyful noise. But he says we shouldn't boast in our abilities. We should boast that we know and understand him. Because that is the most important thing in life. That's why Jesus said the most important commandment was love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's the most important commandment because that's where everything else comes from. And people should see that we love Jesus. Not by our t-shirts or anything else like that, but by our lives. They should look and say, that person's different. And not, man, that person's weird. That person's different, and I want what that person has. That's what people should be saying when they come in contact with us. Not, oh, man, that person's different. I don't want that. Ugh. Whatever that is, keep that away from me. Jesus says in John 10, 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. See, he's our good shepherd. And the important thing in life is that we know Jesus. A prominent religious figure recently has been downplaying and saying it's not necessary to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
That guy's in trouble.
Because God makes it known throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that knowing Him is being a Christian. See, it's not good enough just to know about God. See, before I knew Jesus, I had a lot of information about God. And you largely heard it from Christians, although there are some atheists that have opinions about God. I wouldn't go there to get my opinions my advice about following Jesus. But there's all kinds of stuff out there. And I knew a lot of facts, a lot of information, a lot of, you know, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. He was born from some lady named Mary, who hung out with a guy named Joseph. Then Jesus was going around doing all kinds of miracles. Jesus died on a cross next to two thieves. And then he rose again so that we could have Easter. See, those are facts that you can know. Those facts by themselves don't do anything for you. Because Jesus didn't just die on a cross between two thieves. He died to buy your forgiveness of sin. And if he bought my forgiveness of sin, why would I turn around and throw it in his face and walk in that sin again, repeatedly? What did Peter say when people asked him, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized. Repent means change your mind about the way you're living. In other words, let God turn some lights on in your spiritual house, and then don't run around turning the lights back out after he's turned them on. Don't go busting the light bulbs. I need to know him. He's my shepherd. He wants to lead me through this life in the way that I should go. And how many of you think that it's a good thing that you have somebody like Jesus leading you through this life? Can I see your hand? And we just need to follow. You're not. I wrote a line in a song that said you can't follow if you're trying to lead. And you can't. If we're sitting there going, okay, God, this is the way I'm going. Come on, follow me. No, that's the wrong order. Because God's not going to follow you. But he tells you, follow me. Follow me. That was his call on your life and mine. John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The important thing is we know him, now follow him. Put his word into practice. Put the things that he's telling you into practice. Build on that rock, not on the sand, because the winds are going to blow. First Corinthians 8, 2 and 3 says, if anyone thinks he knows anything, he does not yet know it as he ought to know it. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. You getting the key? We've got to love God. You know, and Paul's saying, if you're a know-it-all, you don't know anything. How many of us know-it-alls, and we walk away from the conversations with them going, that guy's an idiot. Anybody? Yeah. Too many of you were very enthusiastic about raising your hands. I think we've all met that guy. The important thing is that if we love God, most important commandment, then we are known by him. And Jesus won't say to us, depart from me, I never knew you. So how many of you think now that a relationship with Jesus is important? I don't understand how any Christian could say any differently, but a major figure in church has declared it's not necessary. Revelation 2, verses 2 through 5 says, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil people. Are they evil? You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. I know that you have persevered and endured hardships for the sake of my name and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. How many of you would think, I would love it if God only had one thing against me? And this church seemed to be a really good church. They didn't put up with false teaching. They didn't put up with evildoers, you know, and all kinds of stuff. They didn't put up with false apostles. But they had this one thing. The one thing I've been praying about more than anything else lately is the complacency in the church. And I don't mean this fellowship, but I mean the church. It seems that we have taken God for granted. And I've been praying, God, when will people have that fire lit under them again for you? When will people be excited to come into the house of the Lord? When will people be excited to do things for the kingdom of God? When will people be excited instead of being annoyed? Because it seems that so often what happens is that people start serving God, it becomes the norm, and the excitement wears off. Why? Because we've lost our first love. And Jesus was telling this church that was doing all these great things, hey, you're taking me for granted. You don't have that excitement about me anymore. Start doing the things that you did at the first, but with the love that you had at the first. See, we should have a love relationship with Jesus, and because of what he did for us on the cross and for what he does for us every single day as we walk with him, we should just be absolutely filled to overflowing with love for him. But so many of us, gotta go to church again. Oh, no, so I gotta do this because Don said he needed somebody to do this, and I gotta go do it. Nobody else will. That's not somebody who continues to have their first love. That's somebody who's taking God for granted. I had a guy one time back in the old building that heard me talk about various things that needed to get done at the church and, you know, being servants for the Lord. It wasn't this teaching, but it was similar in scope. And the guy came up afterwards, and back then we only had one trash can. But the guy came up after service and said, can I empty the trash? I'm like, what? Can I empty the trash? I'm like, sure. And this guy excitedly runs back. Well, I guess we had a couple of trash cans because of the classrooms. And a guy excitedly runs back, grabs the trash can. I'm taking the trash out for God! And he was excited about taking out the trash because he was doing it for the Lord. We all need a fire lit back under us. I'm reminded of the verse that says, and I said it in the prayer room today, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That should be us every time we get ready to come to church. It should not be, oh God, I have to go to church because it's Sunday and I don't want to go to hell. No, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's the best part of my week, spending it with you on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm glad when I get to go to the house of the Lord. Spend time with my family in Jesus. See, the key to the passage where Jesus talks about, you know, I never knew you, was he who does the will of my Father. See, the Lord wants us to do the will of his Father. He wants us to put these things into practice. Not just cleaning the outside of the cup, but he wants to clean me from the inside out and use me. And the question is, do I let him do that, or am I just happy with cleaning up on the outside? You know, anybody can come to church and in the presence of other Christians, they can clean up the way they look, they can clean up their language. I hear people let a curse word slip, and they go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in church. I don't think that language is appropriate anywhere. Amen or oh me? So, am I a follower of Christ or merely a listener? When times get tough, the listener's life is going to fall apart. Yes, Lord. The doer will get stronger, because whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Matthew 7:24-25 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. See, this is the happy part of the story. The rain's going to come. The winds are going to blow. The waters are going to rise. How will you deal with that? How will I deal with that? It's going to happen. In this world, you'll have suffering. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Which one are we going to focus on? Oh, suffering! Good cheer. If you want to see something bad, you will. If you want to see something good, you will. Most of the time, we aren't looking for the good. We're looking for what's negative in our lives. God wants us to understand that he's overcome the world. He's taken all of that wind and all of that rain and all of that water to strengthen you and me. Because our foundation is on the rock. James 1:25 says something similar. It says, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. I want to be blessed in everything that I do. I want to be able to stand up under trial. I watch people. And one of the telltale signs of someone who's a listener only is when they consistently fall apart under trial. And then there's those people that go through all kinds of really awful things, but they're still standing up in Christ, and they still have a good confession in him and a good testimony in him, because they have built on that foundation of the rock. They're not just hearers of God's word, they're doers of God's word, putting it into practice daily in their lives. And yes, when the tough times come, they're still blessed because they have built on the rock. We all know people who've gone through just horrific things in their lives, and yet they're still strong in Jesus. They're still, you know, in everything give thanks. That's because they know that their trust is in the Lord and not in man. You're blessed when you know that, or blessed, when you know that the God of everything is walking with you. And it says somewhere in the Word, the Lord God is with me. What can man do to me? Luke 9:23-25, then he said to all of them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? It says if we want to follow him, we need to deny ourselves. In other words, I'm not in control anymore. I don't get my way anymore. I went to a funeral quite a while back, and at the end of the funeral, somewhere in the funeral, they played the song, I did it my way. And they're talking about how that's the theme of his life. And I'm thinking, that's sad. I could push for my way. But how many of you would agree, your way got you in trouble? Anybody? I don't want to, I'm finished with my way. It has to be his way. In the life of a believer, the song, the theme of your life is, he did it God's way. Because that's the only way to win in this life. It's finding out what God wants you to do and do that until he tells you to do something else. See, the world's still full of people who talk the talk. What we need to see and what we need to be is people who walk the walk, who have a lifestyle of hearing what God wants us to do and doing it, whether it makes any sense or not. How many of you would agree that a lot of the prophets had to do stuff that made absolutely no sense? And they have a good argument. God, why would you want me to do that? They just did it. Isaiah had to walk around naked over, you know, over a couple of years. If God tells you to do that, stay home. Listen online. How many? That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Which one are you? Are you the talk the talk person, or are you the walk person? There's no in between. There is a walk the walk person. There is a talk the talk person. The way we start walking the walk is we have a great love for Jesus that overflows in our life and from our life to other people's lives. And so we hear what he says, and because we love him, not because of some fear, but because we love him, we walk the walk, because why would he lead us in the wrong direction? See, faith is trusting God that he would not lead you in the wrong direction, that he could not lead you in the wrong direction, but he leads you in the direction of blessing. And I don't want to just hear his word and deceive myself because I heard it. I want to hear his word, find out what he wants me to do with it, and put it into practice. And I believe you do too. So let's be determined to leave this place today, not just hearers of the word, but doers of his word. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that when you speak, it requires a response. Lord, you don't just talk just to talk. But when you speak to us, it's important. It's important for our lives. And it's probably important for somebody else's life who knows us. So, Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit has been here speaking to us. I pray that those that you've touched their hearts, Lord, will have the courage to leave talking the talk only behind. And that each one of us, whether we're here in this place together or listening online or on some other device, I pray that you would challenge our hearts to be doers of your word, to walk the walk, to let our light shine into other people's lives. Lord, I pray that we would stop going into the rooms that you've lit up and turning the lights out. But as you said in the book of Philippians, that we would live up to what we have already attained. With everybody's heads bowed and their eyes closed, how many of you would say, you know, I've been guilty of being that person who just talks the talk and haven't really been walking the walk like I should. I need to return to my first love. I need to return to how I was when I first fell in love with Jesus. I need that fire lit back in my life. If that's you this morning, would you stand up right where you are and say, I need to light a fire in my life and start walking the walk instead of just talking the talk. Just stand up right where you are and we'll pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else before we pray? Father, I thank you for each person that's standing, and the reason that I had them stand was so that they could publicly pronounce this in their lives. Lord, we need to be free from just talking. We need to allow your character to flow through our lives, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're at church. No matter where we are, we need people to be able to see how much we love you. So Lord, would you please light that fire in each one of our lives again? Would you please help us to attain our first love once again for you, and that excitement for you. I pray that your love, our love for you, would overflow in our lives, and that it would touch every single person that we know. You said that we're the light of the world. And Lord, we can't be the light of the world if we're busy turning the light out all the time in our lives. And we choose today not to do that anymore. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up and sing one more song together.